Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. A few people still filing in, but we're going to go ahead and get ready and get going. I just wanted to welcome everyone. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Reminded again this morning that it's so good to be back together, meeting as a church family and intermingling with one another. Maybe we're pushing the envelope with our fellowship time as we greet one another and talk and catch up, but God willing, we'll be safe and sound. Things are going to look a little bit different this morning. Matt is off in Madison at the base, fulfilling his National Guard duty for the month of September, and I won't say a whole lot more about that because in a couple seconds, I'm going to introduce Matt again in a new way. I'll just leave it there for a second. We have some announcements that I want to share with you as we get started this morning. Today, after the service, this weekend, I'm not sure exactly the date for sure, but this weekend is the exact 20th anniversary of the planting of this church. They first met as a church on the weekend of Dairy Days in the year 2000, I believe. So today, after church, we are going to go out to the church land, and we are going to have a picnic and some games and just some time to get together outdoors and fellowship with one another. I haven't been out there today to see what the mud wetness in that is, but the sun's shining, and I think we'll survive. If we have to, we'll meet on the grass around the house out there, and we'll get by. Everyone is just invited to bring their own, if you want, snacks and food and that. With the pandemic and that, we weren't sure how providing potluck and that would work, so we'll do it that way. Tonight, as far as I know, the Hansons are not here. The Hansons had a tragedy or a death in their family. Heather's grandmother passed this past weekend. She passed away, and they are with family celebrating her life, the funeral and that, but as far as I know, they're going to be back tonight and meeting at 5:30 tonight. Young adults, games and meal. I think there will be some Bible study and discussion with that too. Cell groups are beginning. We've got three different groups. One is virtual. It will be online only. If you have any interest in meeting as a cell group, we're going to be studying that pipeline. It's kind of a foundational Christian study, and we're all going to be doing the exact same study in three different groups. If you're interested in that, come and talk to me, and I'll get you in touch with or let you know who the different groups are and how you can get in touch with the leader and get signed up with that. We want to do that, so we'll start meeting a week from this coming Wednesday. And then also we've got some folks in the church that are interested in being baptized. And so we will have a baptism service coming up. And also I think Matt is going to be starting another membership class. We do that periodically as people come in and want to become members or interested in that. It's a little background information on who we are as a church and things like that. Get to know you get to know us kind of thing before you become a member. There's no date set for that, but if you're interested in either a membership class or baptism, talk to Matt this coming week. There will be a baby shower for Miss Molly Bone. She's pregnant, and so the church ladies have gotten together and are planning. They're going to meet at the house, the church house on the property. That's going to be September 27th at noon. So I think everybody that's here and is seeing that announcement and hearing me speak is welcome to come to that. There you go. The rest of that's on there for you guys to see. I want to introduce you to somebody. His name is Matt Wonderland. He is a father, a husband. He is a pastor of a church. He's the pastor of our church. He is also a member of the Air Force National Guard, and he is in the process of or has recently changed job descriptions in his National Guard obligation. He is going from being and I'm not going to know the technical things of all of that, but he is a public relations officer and has been for many years, and has now decided to make a change, and he's going to become the chaplain. So he is going to be, and I don't know, is this weekend, is he working as a chaplain this weekend? Has that happened? So that's changed. So I have I'm found. And he became a chaplain through the North American Mission Board chaplaincy program with the Southern Baptist Church, which is what this church is affiliated with. So I just wanted us as a church, me personally, to get a little more information about what it is that Matt does in one of the many jobs that that he has and the things that he fulfills in his life. So this is our missionary moment. It talks a little bit about what Matt does as a chaplain in the military.
Welcome to our world. Here, there's a language only we speak, and a dress code only we follow. Here, there are lines, real or imagined, that not just anyone can cross. And here, in our world, there is almost never a church. But there is a chaplain.
Listen, I love pastoring churches. I've pastored four churches. But the chaplaincy is really going someplace that the churches sometimes can't go.
A Southern Baptist chaplain is exactly what you think. And a Southern Baptist chaplain is probably more than you think.
I'm nearly 70 years old, and God finally threw me in a situation where I had no choice but to chaplain, and I discovered that all that is ministering to hurting people.
A Southern Baptist chaplain meets people in scary, lonely, dark places.
Prison is one of the lowly of lowliest places you can go. But as a chaplain, it's one of the most rewarding places you can minister to. Because you're going and you're going to visit a guy who's on the bottom, and you can show him the love of Christ.
Over 3,600 Southern Baptist chaplains will go anywhere and do anything just to be there.
You earn the right to be their chaplain and be their minister by being a part of their lives, even outside of the squad car, the briefing room, or the courthouse, or the jail. You earn that privilege.
A Southern Baptist chaplain is not just a chaplain for Southern Baptists.
I met with this Muslim woman. She was told that she had a cancer. So she wanted to just talk to somebody. And I told her about how Jesus is so important to me. And she said, I've heard about Jesus. Where can I find the information about Jesus?
A Southern Baptist chaplain can work for years to build a relationship.
There's some people that when I first start, they kind of like shut their door if they hear I'm on their hall. But I'm thankful to say that I have been in my places long enough and have been able to develop trust relationships where even those people now will say, hey, chaplain, come on in.
As a result, a Southern Baptist chaplain will share the gospel over and over and over again.
I had 60 baptisms at Marine Corps Recruit Depot San Diego. And I always made sure that each one of those recruits understood the salvation message.
Jesus said, go into all the world. All means all. And that's why every day, to everyone, everywhere, we Southern Baptist chaplains go.
The chaplaincy is a calling. It's a special calling from God. It's an anointing from God on men and women who have been called to go out from the local church into some hard places of life to take the gospel of Jesus Christ.
So as we think about missions this morning, know that where Matt is right now, the word mission has many meanings, but we know that each one of us has a mission, and that is whether sharing the gospel and talking with others about Christ is our full-time job, our part-time job, our volunteer job, or it's just something that we do every day. We're always to be on mission, and that is to be our mission, to share Christ and share the good news that is in us and changed us and make that message known throughout the world. So I just thought that was good. I've known for a while that Matt was making that change to be a chaplain in the military, and I wasn't sure if everyone in the room was aware of that or knew what that really entailed. So, all right, I would just ask that in the coming week during your prayer time, if you would keep chaplains and Matt specifically in your prayers as they undertake the work that they do. So, here at Rolling Hills Church, this is not going to be just the Craig show today. Matt did prepare a sermon. Actually, here's what happened. Matt knew that he was going to be away. He asked Philip Hansen to fill in and preach this morning. Philip Hansen's grandmother-in-law passed away, and so Matt stepped up and prepared a video sermon. So we're going to see Matt preach today on video later this morning. So, but before we do that, we want to go into God's Word. As a part of our worship service every morning, every Sunday morning, we read God's Word out loud, and we also pray as a group together. So we're going to read God's Word. This is the passage that Matt will be preaching on this morning in his video. Today's passage is from the Gospel of John. He's been preaching through the Gospel of John for some time now. He's in chapter 14. Today's passage is beginning with verse 15 and goes through verse 31. So John chapter 14, verse 15 through 31. If you would, please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, and you also will live. In that day you will know that I am the Father. I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. What a great passage that is. If that last couple of lines there doesn't explain to us what mission is, then I don't know what does. We are going to take some time to pray as a church body. In 1 John, there's a short letter by the gospel writer. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 say this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have asked, that we have what we asked of him. And so having confidence in that God hears our prayers and that he answers our prayers, let's take some time now to bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. As we begin our silent prayer time this morning, let's take just a few deep breaths. Focus ourselves on God's presence in this place. Take a few moments to thank him for welcoming us here together this morning. As we slow down and as we bask in that welcome that we feel, we may become aware of worries and distractions that are on our minds. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" Let's turn now away from anxiety and to conversation with God. Lord, we give to you, our sovereign Lord, the concerns that are on our minds this morning. As we read in the book of Deuteronomy, this is the 10th commandment, a command that when we've been washed and changed and turned from our wicked ways, we come to love God's law. The 10th commandment is this: "And you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his male servant, or his female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." Father God, we recognize that though the commandment was given in ancient times and was addressed to he, we know that this is for both men and women, that we are commanded not to covet what others have. At the root of this commandment is a command for us to be content with what we have. God, we want to be content with what you've provided for us. Let's take some time now to examine if our hearts are content. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal where you have failed to abide by God's commandment this week. Again, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says this: "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Take some time now and give thanks to God that your sins are forgiven and that you are purified through confession. And in Acts chapter 13, verse 11, we read this: "For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." Pray now for those whom you can share Christ's salvation with. Ask the Lord to show you someone this week that you should invite to your church or ask to your home, or share the story of how you were changed. Pray about who that might be this week, right now. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, Jesus tells us this: "And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." And so this morning, having faith, we come to you, God. We know about whom you have elected. We lift up these prayers of your church family this morning, those of us who are here gathered, believers. Lord, may we be the body that you would have us to be, Lord. May we be grateful for the provision that you have given to us, content with what we have, obedient to your commands, honoring your love and giving to us by giving to others and being loving to everyone. And we want to be a light in your world, Lord. We want to put you before us, put you out in the community. Lord, we know that there are those here this morning that are hurting. There are those here with concerns. There are those here with needs. Lord, we are blessed to hear the cooing and the chatter and the cries of the young ones. Lord, we know that things have changed and we're not having a nursery time now, but what a blessing it is to have all of us gathered here together. Lord, we ask right now that you would come down and touch those who hurt, who have disease, who have loss. Lord, we would ask those who have concerns about others that you might grant them a way to serve this week. There are those of us who are concerned about many in our lives who do not know truth, the truth of the gospel. And Lord, we ask for the words to share this week. Lord, I ask your blessings on Rolling Hills Church. I ask your blessing on each and every family recognized or represented here this morning. And Lord, I just ask that all that we do here this morning would glorify you and you alone. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right. This morning, as I said, the sermon was going to be presented by Matt via video. Normally, if you're not aware, that we normally have our music time at this point in our service, but we've moved that to the end of the service so that any who are uncomfortable with singing publicly would have an opportunity to easily leave the room. So we're going to have singing at the end of the service and Matt's sermon at this point.
Well, good morning, Rolling Hills Church. First, I just wanted to say happy 20th anniversary to our church family. What an amazing accomplishment, and it's incredible what God has been doing through this church for the past 20 years. I really look forward to seeing what God is going to do through this church for the next 20 years as well. I am a little sad that I can't be here this morning. I have guard duty, and I wasn't able to get out of it this Sunday. So just know that my prayers are with you, and I really wish I could be out there having cupcakes and playing games with you this afternoon, but I do hope you have a wonderful time. As we begin our sermon today, I want to ask one question. Do you love Jesus? Now, this seems like an odd question to ask a church, doesn't it? Do you love Jesus? It seems more like a question for starting an evangelistic conversation. You know, do you love Jesus? I think most of us in the church would say, yes, of course I love Jesus. At least I think I do. Part of the problem is that we 21st century Americans don't really know what love is, do we? Most of us think that love is a feeling, and that if we don't have that feeling, it means that we actually don't have love. Now, obviously, there are feelings associated with love, but love is not the feeling. Ask a married couple, someone married 20, 30, 40, 50 years or more, if they love each other more now or when the feelings ran strong. And they will inevitably tell you that they love each other far more now than they did when love was based far more on feeling. You know, there are still plenty of feelings, but love isn't that feeling. You know, there's an old joke that actually tells us a lot about what love is. A couple was getting ready to celebrate their 75th wedding anniversary. And the wife turns to the husband and says, "I love you." He nods his head, but doesn't say anything in return. She repeats a little louder, "I love you." Again, he nods. Finally, she says, "Don't you love me?" He answers her, "Well, I'm still here, aren't I?" In our passage today, John 14:15-31, Jesus reminds his followers, "I'm still here, aren't I?" And then he goes on to show us that not only he, but all members of the Trinity are going to be with us. Our passage is actually continuing the dialogue that began in verse 1 of chapter 14, when Jesus tells his disciples not to let their hearts be troubled. These may be troubling times, but you can have an untroubled heart. Last week, we got 5 reasons to not be troubled. Jesus prepares a place for us in heaven. Jesus will come again. Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus empowers us to complete his mission, and Jesus will hear and answer our prayers. This week's passage, we actually get five more reasons to have an untroubled heart, and that's rooted in the idea that he's still here. But Jesus stipulates that these sources of comfort are only for those who love Jesus. You know, a lot of times we see promises in the Bible and we think they're just that, they're just promises. But most of the promises in the Bible are actually tied to covenant language. They are if-then type promises, as is the one we're seeing today. So again, I want to ask you, do you love Jesus? There are three places in our passage that tell us what it actually means to love Jesus. Verses 15, 21, and 24. We love Jesus if we keep his commandments. We don't love Jesus if we don't keep his words. Let me say that again. We love Jesus if we keep his commandments. We don't love Jesus if we don't keep his words. If God says something one time, we know it's important. The Holy Spirit doesn't do anything on accident. And if God says it three times, wow, we'd better be paying attention, right? It's sort of like a professor in class. If they keep repeating it as they're going through their lecture, you kind of know it's going to be on the test. By the way, that word keep in the Greek, it actually means following to the strictest detail. And it involves this constant self-reflection to ensure things are being done correctly and with a purity of motivation. This isn't just a vague keeping. This is a very minute, strict keeping of God's word. So let me ask you again, do you love Jesus? Now, let me be clear. The meticulous obedience is not the criteria for us to be loved by Jesus. No, this is how we show love for him. Parents, do any of you ever feel loved while your children are disobeying you? It's hard to feel love when you're being people aren't obeying you. Do you feel loved when your kids go out of their way to obey and to even do things without being asked? I know I do. One of the things I like to tell not only my kids, but also my athletes is, don't tell me, show me. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. Don't tell me that you love me, show me that you love me. And of course, the New Testament is full of ways for us to show Jesus that we love him. Everything from obeying the Ten Commandments to not gratifying the desires of the flesh to generosity to the command to go make disciples of all nations. But I want to highlight this morning very briefly the new commandment that Jesus gave to his followers just a few verses ago and as part of last month's memory verse, John 13, 34, that we love one another, that we love one another. Remember, that command that Jesus gave, it was not issued for us to just sort of love all people in general, but it was very specific to the disciples, for Christians to love their fellow Christians. For us today, that means we need to be united and devoted to the people in our local church. It's easy to talk in high glowing terms about loving the universal church, but to love real people in real situations, that's what we're called to, and that gets played out in the local church. If you love Jesus, you must love the church. By the way, that was a running theme throughout the entire book of Ephesians. We heard that a lot, didn't we? This isn't an optional thing, right? Your group of peers is not the church, even if they are Christians, because they're not multi-age. They're not from all different generations. We must love people from all walks of life, people who are different from us, people who are gathered together in a local community to commit themselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you love God, you must also love his children. Nobody can say to me, Matt, I sure love you, but you know what? I really hate your bratty kids. If someone said that to me, I would know that they didn't really love me. But far too often we feel like we can say to God, you know what, God, I love you, but I hate your church. That's just not okay. A new commandment that he gave to us is that we love one another. And when we love one another, just like when kids get along in a family, it makes the parents feel loved as well. But let's be real. We Christians, we're not always easy to love. In fact, I know that I'm not always easy to love. But has it ever occurred to you that the reason Jesus had to talk so much about peace and mercy and grace and forgiveness is because he knew that we were going to hurt one another? Jesus knew that we were all going to screw up. We are going to need peace, mercy, grace, and forgiveness from others, and we are going to need to give peace, mercy, grace, and forgiveness as part of loving one another. You know, Jesus doesn't teach us to take our ball and go home at the first sign of trouble or disagreement. Jesus wants us to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. How often do people say things like, the relationships are bad here, so I'm leaving? Guess what? You just made the relationships worse. In fact, in John 17, Jesus prays for us to stay united. We're going to get to that passage in the future, but it's such an important passage for the church. Jesus prays to God that we would stay united. Isn't it cool to think that after we pray and we ask Jesus for so many things, that we actually have the ability to answer one of Jesus's prayers? We can actually answer Jesus's prayers when we work through things together and we stay united. How do we know as a church that we still love one another? Well, for starters, I'm still here, aren't I? Okay, but maybe the question is, how much effort do I actually need to put into meticulously keeping all of Jesus' commandments, in particular that one about loving one another? Well, in verse 31, Jesus sets the example. The world knows that Jesus loves God the Father because Jesus obeyed to the point of his own death. Not to the point of annoyance, not to the point of his frustration, not to the point of his inconvenience, but to the point of death. And that's the example we're supposed to follow. How many times do we forgive our brother? 70 times 7 times. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, but his only son gave his life to show the world his love for the Father. That's our example. And let's also keep in mind that we're not going to be perfect at showing Jesus that we love him through our obedience while we're on this side of heaven. But we should grow in the right direction. Yes, there are disloyal and thus unreal Christians who do not love Jesus. And they show their lack by the fact that keeping his word, it's really not a priority for them. Maybe this is some of you. But true believers want to grow in this area and all areas of the faith. And I would say that even wanting to obey is a legitimate way of beginning to love. Desiring to do better is an authentic way of continuing to love. And intentional change is a way that we deepen in love. So please don't get discouraged if you know that your love isn't perfect, because it's not. Please don't think that you aren't saved when you consider your obedience if it's not the way you feel like it should be. But that said, as this passage implies, if you think that you're doing just great and you feel like you don't really need to grow, you should do some serious soul searching and really question whether or not you are actually saved, because that's not the type of heart the Holy Spirit gives people. Now, for those of us who are saved, those of us who show Jesus our love through obedience, let me touch on the 5 sources of comfort found in this passage. Source of comfort number 1 is found in verses 16 and 17. We see that God the Father will give us a helper. In the Greek, it says another paraclete. Of course, the first paraclete is Jesus himself. All believers will receive the Holy Spirit as part of their regeneration. The Holy Spirit within us enables us to continue the mission of Jesus. Every Christian gets all the Holy Spirit right away when they are saved. And the Spirit is what gives us fruits, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's the Holy Spirit that causes us to desire to obey. And of course, there are also gifts of the Spirit, and there are a myriad of them, such as teaching, wisdom, faith, fortitude, fear of God, encouragement, and many, many others. Again, we all receive some of these in various measures. And of course, we can all also grow in these. But God didn't give us the Holy Spirit so that we could lock ourselves away and put our light under a basket. We were given the Holy Spirit so that we could continue the mission of Jesus. When Al Perkins was here, he used to talk about the analogy of the local church as a boat. When we were saved, we were put into this boat or put into this canoe. The spiritual gifts we have and the talents that God has given us are like paddles. Every paddle is a little bit different, but the goal of the church should be to make sure we're all paddling in the same direction. Don't paddle different ways. Don't just hold on to your paddle and not paddle at all. We must continue the mission of Jesus together. We must paddle in the same direction. We were given the Spirit so that we can continue the mission of Jesus. And it should be a great comfort to us that the Spirit is working through us to be able to do that. The second source of comfort, found in verses 18 and 19, are that we know that Jesus will never leave us, and that we will live through him. Jesus will never leave us, and we live through him. And by the way, this is another one of those double entendres that Jesus gives in these speeches. In this passage, he's actually very obviously talking about the resurrection. Jesus is going to come back and see the disciples. Did you ever notice that no non-believers saw him after the resurrection? Jesus only appeared to the disciples. And because he rose, the disciples knew that one day they would rise too. But of course, Jesus is also talking to us in this passage as well. Jesus comes to us through the Holy Spirit. You know, the world can't see how the Christian life is worth living. But to those who know and who love Jesus, we can't imagine it any other way. Not only will we one day live through Jesus, we are living through him right now. Knowing that Jesus will never leave us and that we live through him, even right now, should bring us great comfort. The third reason found today, which by the way, this brings our total up to 8, the third reason that we should have untroubled hearts in a troubled time is found in verses 20 through 25. And that is, we have a supernatural union with the Godhead. You know, in this section, Jesus gives a whole bunch of different arguments. Most of them are transitive arguments. And they say things like, if we are in Jesus and Jesus is in the Father, therefore we are in the Father. Or here's another example. If you keep Jesus' commandments, and Jesus' commandments are the Father's commandments, then keeping Jesus' commandments is actually keeping the Father's commandments. And of course, if we love Jesus by keeping his commandments, we therefore are also loving God the Father by keeping his commandments. And there are a lot more subtle and implied arguments in this passage, and in past passages as well. But the bottom line is in verse 23. And that's where Jesus says, we, meaning him and the Father, will come to the person who obeys him and makes their home in him. So in verse 17, we saw that the Holy Spirit lives in us. And now what we're seeing is that so do Jesus and God the Father. True Christians have intimacy with all three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are near us. They are in us, and we are also in them. We have a supernatural union with the Godhead, and that should bring us great comfort. Reason number 4 today, found in verse 26, is that we have a perfect teacher. We should be comforted because we have a perfect teacher. If, you know, loving God means obeying God, we probably need to know and be pretty solid in what, in fact, we are to obey. Of course, this is why we need to beware of false teachers, of those who, you know, tell us what our itching ears want to hear, or from our culture that likes to put nice-sounding books like Conversations with God out there on the bookshelves, which actually turn out to be undermining Scripture. But don't worry. The disciples, in particular, were given supernatural remembrance of everything that happened with Jesus, so that we, through the Scriptures, have the perfect words of Jesus. That's one of the reasons we Christians spend time in God's Word. It's because it is His Word, and it is perfect in telling us all we need to know. And even 2,000 years later, the Spirit lives within us, teaching us, convicting us, challenging us, and of course, comforting us. I like to tell people the Bible is the only book that was ever written where the author is always with you to answer your questions. We have the perfect teacher, and that should give us great comfort. And finally, reason number 5 that we should have untroubled hearts in a troubled world is because we have authentic peace, according to verses 27 through 30. You know, the world's peace is a hollow fiction. In the first century, they lived under what was called the Pax Romana, peace that actually came about by fear, peace that was kept by the military and crucifixion and gladiatorial games, not really a true peace. Of course, today the world seeks peace through things like the cancel culture, rioting, white male guilt, greed, lust, distraction, intolerant tolerance, individualism, and isolation. But true peace, shalom, brings an end to the brokenness caused by sin and is to be a key feature of all of God's people because of the Holy Spirit working within us. In fact, in one sense, we could argue that the peace Jesus leaves is actually the Holy Spirit. Because His presence, the presence of the Spirit, is what begins our peace by ending our war with God. And it defeats the real enemies of sin and death in our lives. He causes us to crucify our selfish flesh and to submit to the true King. All obedience after that, that's just details. So we have true peace when the Holy Spirit enters our lives. Jesus goes to the Father to intercede on our behalf, and He sends us the Holy Spirit. And He gives us His Word, so that our hearts need not be troubled or afraid. Knowing we have authentic peace should give us great comfort. God became flesh, and He lived among humanity, not just to create a sort of transaction with people so that when they ultimately die, they can go to heaven. He did that to continue to be with us and to send us His Spirit and to be present with believers. He's still here, isn't He? And so what God does is He calls His Spirit-indwelled people, all of us, right, to something greater, something more significant. By obedience, we are His redeeming forces on this earth. Our time here is about reclaiming the things that He created. Believing God that He created the entire cosmos and that one day Jesus is going to restore all of it, but in the meantime, He's restoring it through the work of the believers and through the Holy Spirit's power in us. As we go forth, we are saying things like, "This belongs to God." And we help point out the beauty of the gospel to everyone so that the kingdom grows and includes every tribe, tongue, and nation. That's what it means to love God and obey Him. And of course, most of all, we need to live in the gospel truths ourselves. And by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, who plants the teaching of the Lord in our hearts, we can do that. And we can be comforted along the way, even though there's going to be struggles. As a church, when we use our gifts to paddle together, because you can't be a Christian alone any more than you can be married alone, we should be comforting one another with the truths of God, that we have the Spirit, that Jesus will never abandon us, that we are supernaturally united with the Godhead, and that we have a perfect teacher, and that we have authentic peace. These things should motivate all of us to further love Jesus by obeying him, and thus, in a spiral effect, continue to receive more and more of his gifts. Rolling Hills, we've been doing this for 20 years. Let's do it for 20 times 20 more. Let's pray. Please bow your heads in prayer with me. Lord, I can't help but be amazed and awed by the truths of this passage. We are united with you, and we represent your presence to the world. This passage ends with that battle cry to rise and go from here, and my prayer is that we will. The world needs your peace. People need Jesus. Forgive us when we don't keep your commandments, especially the command to love one another. You know, I think about the analogy that a drop of water can't do much, but when you put drops of water together, you can create an ocean or a river. And that's what we're called to be as a church. We are called to be a powerful force together in a way exponentially greater than any one of us could be on our own. Thank you, Lord, for the convicting voice of your Spirit in our lives. Thank you for the comforting voice of your Spirit in our lives. Father, we ask that our church be unified. We ask that we be obedient and submissive and loving in all we do for your kingdom, for your mission, and for your glory. Amen.
So at this point in the service, we're going to do our monthly memory verse. We started doing these, for those that don't know, we started doing these back in 2015, and we started doing just kind of the kindergarten, you know, repeat after me, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that got boring pretty quick. Matt was able to find a couple that were online that were set to music, and as anybody who's ever had a song stuck in your head knows, when you set it to music, it sticks in your head a little bit better. So this memory verse is actually one from, what was it, just October of 2016? Just happened to be one that we've done before. So everybody who's been here since October 2016 should know this one already. All of our memory verses, all the way back to, I think it's actually late fall of 2015, they're out on SoundCloud.com. They're also out on the church's website. So if you go to SoundCloud.com and look up Rolling Hills Church, that's the easiest way to find it. You can actually create your own playlist there and have all of the church's memory verses going back for, 5 years now. So, go ahead.
John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. John 14:27.
And at this time, anybody who is not comfortable with singing, with group singing, there are some studies that show that viral transmission, the odds are higher when you're singing in a group. So if anybody is not comfortable with singing in the group, you're dismissed. You can feel free to head out the door right behind you to your left, my right. For everybody else, stand with us and let's sing together.
I will praise you forever for the things you have done. In your name I find hope, hope to carry me through. will praise you in the presence of your saints. With a loud voice I will offer praise, and I will worship none but you for the hope I have. And I will worship none but you, so I can say, I will worship none but you. You alone deserve our praise. I will worship none but you. And I will praise you forever for the things you have done. In your name I find hope, hope to carry me through. And I will praise in the presence of your saints, and with a loud voice I will offer praise. And I will worship none but you for the hope I have today. I will worship none but you. Draw me close so I can see. I will worship none but you. I will praise you in the presence of your saints, and with a loud voice I will offer praise. And I will worship none but you for the hope I have today. I will worship none but you, so I can say, I will worship. I will worship none but you. You alone deserve our praise. I will worship none but you. Shadow of the glorious cross, compelled by grace to cast my lot, I'll discard the loss, bear your name, forsaking all for your great fame. Your hymn of grace sung over me, abounding by you, my Lord, sustained and my redeemed restored, sustained and my redeemed restored. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When death's dark shadows at my feet, when I am plagued with unbelief, you place my hands into your side, my precious blood identify, my precious blood identify. Dead hands, I cast them down before the throne of Christ the God, worthy Lamb. crucified, the great I am. Christ crucified, the great I am. Christ crucified, the great I am.
Slain for the sins of the world, yet you are also the Lion of Judah. You came as a, Jesus, you came as a suffering servant. You came, set aside the glories of heaven, and came at a time and a place that, frankly, none of us would want to live in. You humbled yourself in every possible way, even to a death on the cross, torture, murder. But Father, you rose Jesus from the dead. Jesus, you rose from the dead. Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and coming again. And we worship the risen King this morning. And we know that no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on, that you are in control. That everything is according to your will. Nothing is outside of your control and your command. And we are grateful for that. And we worship you for it. Father, Son, and Spirit. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Glorious thought.
Dismissed. Please take head out that direction when you're ready to go out there. May the peace of our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you. You're dismissed.